Let's all stand and read from Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Let's pray. Father, in this moment, we pray our hearts are opened and our minds are open to what your Holy Spirit will say to us today. Lord, we pray that in the next few minutes, your Spirit work in us, change us, to transform us, to make us into your likeness. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So we're continuing our three-week study of Jonah. And as we know, Jonah is it's an interesting book. It's an intriguing book. And really, a lot of what we know about Jonah is it's a whale swallowing a guy. But hopefully, as we read it, or as you have been reading it, that you will see that it is more than a story that is about Jonah. It is more than a story about a whale. It is more than a story about a prophet running away from God. But instead, it is a story about God. A God willing to go to great lengths to redeem and save. A God who never says, "I can't go there to rescue you." The book of Jonah reminds us that we, you, me, can never be out of God's reach. We can never be at a place where God's divine rescue cannot find you. We may think we can be. We might even think that God doesn't want to mess with us. We may think that God has forgotten us. But Jonah reminds us of something different. Jonah tells us that God's rescue, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace is scandalous. It's subversive because we are dealing with not a God who deals or transacts in the attributes that we play with. So if you ever realize this, we have this idea when we think of rescue, when we think of grace, when we think of mercy, when we think of love, those kind of attributes, when we use them, we kind of have limits on them. Well, you know, our grace only goes so far. Our love only goes so far. Our mercy only goes so far. We'll only rescue up to a point. The book of Jonah tells us that God doesn't deal in our way of thinking, that God doesn't live inside of our parameters, but that actually God goes beyond our parameters. God doesn't care whether we decide if someone is in or someone's out. God doesn't care if we decide who's good and who's bad. What we find in the book of Jonah is that God will rescue whoever God wants to rescue, and God can rescue someone at their darkest, worst moment. And that is good news. And so today, what I'm hoping for is that this message will be a message of good news to you. That wherever you are in your faith journey, whether right now your faith is strong and you believe that if you told the mountain to move, it would move, or if your faith isn't that strong, if you find yourself not in the best spot, if you find yourself questioning, or if you find yourself like Jonah, that I hope that this message will be good news for you too. Because I think that's where we find Jonah today. We find Jonah in a place that is his own personal hell. And you probably know what I'm talking about when I say that. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, you're in your own personal hell. You're hiding from the world. You're hiding from people. You've walled yourself off from others. And what I mean by that is you've been really good at putting on a good face, right? You can smile even though inside you want to scream. Or you do like others and you just won't respond to text. You won't respond to text. You won't pick up the phone. If the phone calls, you just hit ignore. And by the way, if you ignore a call, us on the other side know you're ignoring it. So, but anyway, it's like my daughter does it. I know when she's ignoring me. But you know what I'm talking about. You get to that point in which you completely take yourself away from others because you believe you can't be saved. You believe that you are in a spot in which no one can take care of you, no one can rescue you, no one can listen to you. You know that place. You've been to that place. I think, all been in that place. And today you may be there. And I hope that this message comes to you with good news, that you're not by yourself. And so I want to start with a story. It was actually an interesting story. It was a story that was in Texas Monthly way back, like in February. And here's how the story goes. So there's this guy named Ken, and he was a Scottish retiree who wanted to live off the grid. He was basically a doomsday prepper. Anybody ever seen that? He was a doomsday prepper. So Ken, he lived in the Scottish Highlands when he retired, and he basically, for the last 25 years, has lived so far off the grid that I can only use the name Ken because people in the city village closest to him didn't even know his last name. Like, no one knew his last name. They just knew his name as Ken. So what Ken would do is, every week, he had a satellite transponder, and he would turn it on so that at least his family would know that he's alive. So he would turn it on. Well, there was this one day when Ken woke up, and he was just sick. He was feeling bad. And so he decided to do something he never did. It wasn't the Sunday. He decided to do it another day. He turned on his transponder because he was getting more and more and more ill. So he turned on his transponder. He turned on not only the transponder, he turned on the distress signal of the transponder. So he turned on the distress signal, and what happened was, for the first time really in a long time, his distress signal was not picked up by the local village. It wasn't picked up by the local village. It wasn't picked up in places where it normally is. It wasn't picked up in England. It wasn't picked up in closer stations in Europe. Instead, you know where his distress signal was picked up? You know who heard it? And of course you don't, because you probably didn't read the article, but I did. It was picked up by, I want to get this right, the International Emergency Response Coordination Center in Houston, Texas. So Houston, Texas picked up Ken's distress signal from the Scottish Highlands. Now, the cool thing about this is the IERCC exists to detect these kind of signals. They noticed the signal, relayed the message to the UK Coast Guard, in which then deployed a helicopter to go pick him up. The helicopter, this is where Ken lived, he's so off the grid, the helicopter couldn't get to Ken, and so they sent in a specialized group to go get Ken. So they landed, sent in the group to go get Ken. The group got to Ken and realized he wasn't just sick, he needed hospital care. So they got him out off the side of the mountain, wherever he was, got him to the hospital, and got him what he needed, medical aid, and now Ken is okay. And so a satellite signal, which was routed through Houston back to Scotland, which then deployed a helicopter, which then made a group of like specialized people go get him. This is a 4,500 mile thing that happened to rescue this one guy who was walled off from all society, who people had never heard of. Now, Can you imagine when he sent that distress signal and didn't hear anything and didn't hear anything and didn't hear anything and didn't hear anything? Can you imagine what he was thinking? Probably thinking nobody's heard it. Probably thinking, finally, this is it for me. And yet, some dudes in Houston heard it and took care of him. And I think as we look at Jonah 2, we find that Jonah is in a similar predicament. Jonah, in this second chapter, as we know in the first chapter, he doesn't like anything that God wants him to do. He doesn't want to help the Assyrians out. Jonah doesn't like the assignment God has given him, and so he runs away. And in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2, we find out where he is. We find out that all of this running and all of this stuff has landed him in this spot. And so we have a physical spot, we have an emotional spot, we have a spiritual spot for where Jonah feels himself is. And so in verses 1 and 2, he says what? He says, so the physical place I'm in is, I'm in the belly of a fish. We're not going to go there because I don't understand it either. But he's in the belly of a fish, okay? Then he talks about his emotional standpoint, his emotional location. And we know this, he is in distress. So I'm in the belly of a fish. I'm in distress, and then we get this kind of spiritual location. And he says, from deep in the realm of the dead, which if you, some of your other translations may say Sheol. Best translation we can give is, Jonah feels as if death is surrounding him. There is no life for him to see. His life is at a point of death. Sheol is the place of the dead in the Old Testament. It's empty. It's hollow. It's not a place of torture. Don't think Sheol's like hell, right? How we think of hell. It's not. It's just a place of nothingness. It was a place without. And even most distressing, as we see with Jonah, it is the place believed God could not be, that God could not go. Jonah feels as if, Jonah feels that he is alone, he has been abandoned to the point where not even God can take care of him. I think you know this place too, because I know this place. I know this place. I know what this feels like today, the place where we think that God can't rescue us, that God can't be here with us. We've done so much bad in our life that God won't touch us. We are at a place in which God won't mess with us. And so what does Jonah do? Jonah throws up a Hail Mary. It's what he does. It's the football term of the Hail Mary. And Jonah prays. Jonah prays, and Jonah hopes that somehow he can send this distress signal to God, and somehow God will listen. Somehow God will hear him. It's the Hail Mary prayer from Jonah. And all Jonah is also thinking is, I'm not sure that communication from Sheol can get to God. Why? Because God can't touch Sheol. God is not present. But have you ever been at the end of your rope, at the it's last-ditch effort time? It's like, I've got to do this. We'll see what happens. This is where he's at. I've got to do this. Let's see what happens. Maybe God will be there. And then you get verse 2, and you begin to notice that there's this kind of hope from Jonah. You begin to notice that in the midst of the impossible, in the midst of the water surrounding him, in the midst of the weeds wrapped around his head and being at the very bottom of the sea, this is where I'm going to hopefully give you some good news for the rest of the sermon. No more feeling bad about yourself, okay? No more thinking any of that. Where in your impossible, in your hell, with everything consuming you, I want to tell you today that there is good news. that your life might feel like Jonah's life right now. It may feel like you're descending down into the pit, and it may feel like God can't reach you. You may have said out loud, God will have nothing to do with me. You may have said, as Jonah said, God is punishing me, so therefore God will not listen to me. You may have even said that God doesn't understand what I'm going through. God doesn't care about my situation. And so I hope that today is the rest of this day is good news for you, because then we get to chapter 7 or verse 7. And in verse 7, you get this turn. You get, in some translation, is the word but, which is a big word. Anytime you read it, there's a turn about to happen. And in the midst of all this in Jonah, Jonah being in Sheol, Jonah feeling as if death is surrounding him, Jonah feeling as if God won't listen to him, verse 7 says this: when my life was almost done, so when I felt like I was almost dead, I remembered you, Lord. And here's the but. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. In your impossible, in your darkest moment, Jonah says, you brought me from my life, from the pit. You pulled me from the place that no one thought you could pull from. And in your darkest place, where your life is weakening, where you believe God isn't, I say to you today with confidence, God is. How do I believe that? Because the prophet Jeremiah told us in 23 and 24, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord. This is God talking. This isn't Jeremiah talking. Am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. It's the Isaiah 6 moment where Isaiah, in Isaiah's moment and in the nation's moment, in which the king has died, the good king has died, and they don't know where they can be. They feel like they're in Sheol. And do you remember in chapter 6 of Isaiah what happened? I looked up and there was God. And not only there was God, his glory filled, his presence filled not just the temple, right? Not just this confined spot. His glory filled the earth. God can touch your impossible place. God does not short arm you. God's reach is infinite. God is not fearful of the depths, nor does God leave you in the pit. Here's the deal. You don't belong to the pit. You don't belong to hell. You don't belong to whatever you think you deserve. The good news today is you belong to God. And God is the one who remembers always. While our memory may fade, God's does not. And God can reach into your deepest moment. God can reach into a well. God can reach in to Jonah as he sinks to the bottom of the sea and as he feels death surrounding him. Death does not scare God. God can reach in to death. And so I will say to you today that God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you. And as we read the prayer of Jonah 2, we're reminded that your worst moments are nothing, God. What I mean by that is God is not allergic to your worst moments. God is not afraid of your worst moments. God is not above rescuing you out of your worst moments. God is present in those moments. And how can I say that? Because we have the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus, who was not withheld from pain, was not withheld from suffering, but in fact, went to the cross. Even as Ephesians reminds us, descended into the lower realms. As Paul says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does the ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Jesus is the one who understands what you're going through, who understands your suffering, and does not believe that there is any pit of hell that you could be in that he cannot touch, that he cannot pull you out of. This, my friends, is good news today. That you can send your distress signals to God and they do not land on deaf ears. It is not a God who stands by and says, well, whenever you pick yourself up, I'm right here waiting on you. Right? Whenever you get it figured out, I'm right here waiting for you. No, instead, what do we have? We have a God who hears the distress signal and is willing to travel the 4,500 miles, as in the story with Ken, to get to you today. Today. Not tomorrow. Not a week from now. Today. In your despair, in your hell, in your moment of abandonment, when it feels as no one is listening, what Jonah reminds us is that someone is listening, someone is close, and when we cry out, when we are hurting, God is present. You cannot dig a deep enough hole for God not to get into. You may think you did, but you can't. And as one theologian reminds us of this, he says, to be with Jonah at this point in his story is to be where only Jesus Christ can visit and can save you. And so here's the thing. If you're in a pit today, you're not in the pit by yourself. Jesus has jumped into the pit with you. Jesus is next to you. Jesus is there with you. Jesus is listening to you. Jesus is not outside the pit, but in the pit, wanting to rescue you. And we'll close with a story. And I don't know how many of you watch West Wing. I love West Wing. I watch it over and over. But there's a significant moment in West Wing that has stayed with me. And so you have Josh Lyman, who is assistant chief of staff. And Josh has gone through an incident, and he has PTSD. And so Leo McGarry, the chief of staff, gets Josh to go speak to a counselor about his PTSD. Because you have to understand, Josh didn't, with PTSD or any of these, you don't realize really you're going through this weird situation. You don't realize what's going on with you. You're just not yourself. You kind of feel like you're in a pit. And you feel like you're all alone. You're the only one that goes through it. So he's acting out. He's doing stuff to the staff. I mean, he's at the point where they can get him fired. But Leo McGarry has him go to a counselor, and he's starting to work through it. And it's a Christmas, it's the Christmas season ender. And so at the end of it, after he talks to the counselor and he's coming out, he walks into Leo. And Josh looks at Leo and says, you know, why'd you do this? And so Leo tells him a story. And it's a parable. And he says, there was a guy who was walking down the street who fell down in a hole. He's in the hole and he hears someone walk by him and he yells at him and says, hey, you think you can get me out of this hole? And the guy looks at him and goes, hey, I know a guy. Here's his card. Give him a call. And throws the card down in the pit. Walks away. Another guy walks in. Hey, you, do you know how to get me out of the hole? No, I'm a counselor, but when you get out of the hole, give me a call. Nothing against counselors. Throws the card down the hole. All of a sudden, his friend comes by. Hey, Joe, can you get me out of the hole? Joel jumps down into the hole. He looks at his friend and says, Joe, what are you doing? Why would you jump in the hole with me? He goes, I've been in the hole, and I know the way out. Jesus has been in the hole. Jesus will jump in the hole, and Jesus knows the way out. There's not a hole, there's not a pit, there's not a hell, there's nothing that you can be in which Jesus will not jump in there for you to pull you out. Jonah found that out too. That even though he did what he did and he's running from God, God still, his rescue is subversive, it's scandalous, it is for all, even for Jonah. And Jonah could be at the point of death, and God will go to the point of death for you. And in fact, God will die for you to pull you out. That is good news. And so maybe we should be people who jump into the pit when others are in the pit, because we are Jesus to them as well. God is a God of rescue, and we should be thankful that God is a God of rescue. Do not forget today, I don't care where you are in life, you may be struggling, you may be at a point of death, you may be feeling like no one will listen to you, God will listen to you. Throw up the Hail Mary. Talk to one of us today. We're here. We want to listen. We'll get in the pit with you, and we'll work our way out of it. If you have any needs this morning, we'll have elders up front. We'll be down here. Come now as we stand and as we sing.